way for what we believe is an ambulance that will be coming out. In the past couple of hours, we saw a large crane go into the scene and start to move very slowly, very meticulously into a hole that they've dug in the roof of this elementary school where these three children are believed to be located. I spoke to first responders, and they told me that they have been able to communicate with the children. They have even been able to hand them some cell phones, and that's how they know that they are okay.
Workers say the rescue efforts will continue for days. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years, but now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
A new study says students who binge drink in college less likely to find a job.
Researchers at Tel Aviv University and Cornell University kept track of more than 800 students who graduated from college between 2014 and 2016. They found that students who were binge drinking four times a month had a 6% lower chance of finding a job than their peers. Binge drinking is typically defined as four or more drinks within 2 hours for a woman and five or more drinks within 2 hours for a man. The study found job prospects are even worse for those who drank heavily six times a month. Researchers say that increases a graduate's risk of unemployment to 10%.
The recent breach of Equifax has caused New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to create new legislation.
Menendez, who is currently on trial for fraud and bribery, says he finds the Equifax breach disturbing, especially when he heard that executives sold off company stock before the breach was disclosed. So Menendez is introducing a bill that would require a prompt notification to consumers in the event of a data breach, along with tighter data security standards. Menendez says the Equifax breach impacted 4 million people in New Jersey alone. Overall, it has impacted some 143 million Americans.
The Securities and Exchange Commission says hackers breached the online filing system and may have used information to make illegal trades. The SEC gave few details about the hack, saying only it involved a software vulnerability in its Edgar online filing system. USA Radio News.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Well, Welcome to Life is a Spiritual Occasion. This is WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio, and I'm your host, Suzanne Legay. As a means of introducing today's show to y'all, we experienced a little hiccup this week with our guests becoming unavailable, and that's sort of a hazard, isn't it, of live broadcasting. However, I've recruited two guests, two very popular guests, whose voices you'll readily recognize. And they've bravely consented to join me to chat about our topic today, which is attitude. Welcome, Chris Bianco, Big C from The Morning Show.
Good afternoon, Susan.
Did I say good morning? No, I didn't. Okay.
No, I have to make sure I say good afternoon because I'm very used to saying good morning.
Okay, great. And Chris Phelan, CEO of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and whose radio show is Chamber in Action.
Well, good afternoon to both of you. Pleasure to be here, and thank you, Suzanne, for joining our airwaves, and your show is off to a phenomenal start, so thank you.
Thank you for that. Since we have both Chris's with us here today, I'll make a distinction if I can, but I may leave it up to our listeners to recognize your voices since you're both popularly known on the airwaves. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining me. Indeed, this was a filler inner, but we're hoping that the subject matter and the conversation will not feel at all like that. We're going to talk about, as I said, attitude. And why discuss attitude on a show called Life is a Spiritual Occasion? Well, I'm going to set the stage for you, hopefully, with that. Attitude's a noun, and it's about the definition says it's a settled way of feeling about something or someone. It's typically reflected in a person's behavior, viewpoint, outlook. This is a pretty big topic, so we're going to try and take some little bites at this apple today as we talk. So I'm going to ask that question again to you two gentlemen. Why is it that I have chosen the subject of attitude as it relates to life being a spiritual occasion?
It's interesting. It's an interesting question because I've listened to a few of the shows on our radio programs. One specifically is Bob Burns, and what I relate to Bob and his shows are he doesn't want people to walk through life as zombies. And what I got from his perspective is that you actually have to be motivated to absorb what's going on in your life and what's going on around you. Many people can be laissez-faire about it, and that they seem to be take on a victim perspective. So if you want to truly enjoy what I call the roller coaster, you have to really have your eyes open to be prepared to absorb that. And I believe that's the kind of the attitude that you need.
Ah, okay. Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, attitude's got some very interesting complexities to it, I think, when you look at it as a definition that you put out there. And I think in the context of, you know, our conversation for the individual and how that ties into their well-being, into their spirituality, into their wholeness in life, attitude is almost like, and it comes to me like as a third rail. It's something that is definitely going to, you know, keep that individual in perspective, and I think, like Chris said, you know, aware of, you know, their daily life. So whether it's their daily encounters at work, their daily encounters with people, their daily encounters with family or significant others, or their relationship to the spiritual, you know, as well. Attitude is really a framework, and that third rail that will keep you charged, you know, and focused. And I do think it is one thing, you know, that we do have in life. It's a gift that's given to us, and how we choose to use that, I think that's probably part of the key, at least from my perspective, because it is a choice. Attitude really is a choice, no matter what circumstances life may throw at you.
Yeah, it's interesting that Chris's answer also identified with me. We talked about this actually in Leadership Hunter in one time, that the way you absorb information is coming at you is through a prism. So attitude could be that prism of how you identify what you're experiencing. You can experience it positively, you can experience it negatively, and I'm And those are just the extremes, and there's so many different subtleties to everything that's in there as well.
I can see that it's no accident that I grabbed each of you by the by the nape of the neck and said, come, gentlemen, please talk about this with me. Because very often we hear about attitude. Someone has a good attitude. Someone has a bad attitude. It's a noun. It often has an adjective with this. It's sort of something that someone has, or very often it's situational.
Sure.
But from both of your perspectives, starting off, I hear that, you know, third rail, or it's a way of being, and so forth, and that really is where we're coming from in terms of life being a spiritual occasion. It's that greater awareness of our inner selves as well as the outside world.
Mm-hmm. And I think you hit it on the head, Suzanne. You know, it's the awareness, I think, in everyone's life today, especially, you know, in our world, in our business world, our family lives, we are so busy and so distracted. And, you know, until we take a step back, until we take, you know, some time to reflect, some time to focus, whether we meditate or whether we pray or however we kind of, I'll use that word, you know, center ourselves, I think so many people go through life and don't even realize their attitude is on autopilot. And it may be, you know, again, based on, you know, life circumstances. It may be based on relationships. It may be based on, you know, a lot of different rationales. But I do think when you talk to people that have this innate awareness and have this ability to be cognitive of their attitude and their presence is felt the minute you come into their, you know, being. You know, it's just something that radiates from them, and from that point forward, the interactions, however long you know that person or even their reputation tied up, you're talking about reputational attitude, is tied up into that because, you know, they're so aware of that, and the attitude kind of, again, permeates all that they are.
So we have a nod here.
Yeah, Chris, I was going to let you jump in there.
No, I'm trying to. It was interesting. I was thinking about your background, Chris, and I was wondering how you kind of commingle your theological background with your business background and your experiential background.
Well, it's a good question, and I think, you know, again, regardless of one's own religious belief, you know, spirituality, belief in a higher power, belief in a certain, you know, religion or God, you know, how that plays out, I think, you know, it's being in touch with, you know, that for which we are here, you know, as humans, that we're part of something bigger.
Yep.
And I think that plays out in the world of attitude across the board, you know, theologically, across the board, you know, no doubt, you know, across the sphere of different religions that we have here or whatever your belief may be at the end of the day. And I think the principles of probably any of the major, you know, religions, you know, at the end of the day, comes forth from that we are part of a bigger universe, that we are just part of, you know, something bigger than ourselves. And I think if you take that as a principled perspective, you start to have a whole new, I'll use your word, prism, relative to your attitude. You're going to look at things very differently. I think that's one of the things that I just see today, again, anecdotal, but in interactions with so many people and the stresses that people have and all the challenges that folks have, whether it's you know, health issues or financial issues or pressures at work and on the family, is being able to be in touch a little bit more and cognitive of that, you know, attitude. I saw it last night, a very good person who just in a moment of just complete distraction reacted to something that was so you know, out of sync with what was taking place at this particular meeting.
So good. So is, I have a question then. Is,
sure.
Is
your show.
Yeah, let
See,
me
I
just
told
jump.
You, just,
excuse me. Let me just jump in here, gentlemen.
you let us loose and we're just going to go.
That's good. That's good. So is where does it come from? Where does attitude come from? Is it a creation? Or is it a reaction?
Phew. Man, that's a, I'd have to think that it's modeled after what you experience. I think we learn that through people we respect and people we hold up in our eyes as people we want to model after. But then I personally have built my own attitude through watching others and deciding what my place is and what my goals are and what my motives are, and deciding how I want to be viewed personally and introspectively from others. So I use all the teaching lessons from everybody's experiences in front of me as easy as the Golden Rule. You know, the Golden Rule was hit me in the face years ago when I was a kid, and it makes a tremendous amount of sense. But I've expanded that to using all the different things that I witness and observe and decide on that particular moment how I would react if I was in that situation, even if I'm not, even if I'm just observing.
And yeah. Chris, you said sure. earlier that attitude is a gift, and you're saying that pretty much you see that as something you bring in you or with you to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I think building on that thought, that I do think that it is a gift. When you look at, and I go back to children, when you put small little children together, 2-3-year-olds, and you look at their, again, innocence. We talk about the innocence of children and all of that, and all the hope and energy that they have, and the excitement and the enthusiasm over the simplest things. You can see from the very beginning that you know, basis of an attitude is something that we innately have been given, just like life I view as a gift, you know, at the end of the day. And then how we choose, I think, you know, similar to what Chris says at that point, you know, to develop those gifts and or learn from others and or be influenced by, forces, you know, that are out there, is all part of that, I think, development process. But, you know, when all is said and done, I think it's, you know, again, on a spiritual front and really a presence front, because I was just talking to a business coach this morning, and he was talking about presence and how we've lost even presence in the business world. We sit at a meeting and we're worried about the next meeting. We sit at a meeting and we're looking at our watch and our cell phone and all that. Are we present in that moment to really be aware of what's taking place? And are we present then to our attitudes? And, you know, at the end of the day, there's a lot of strife in this world and a lot of things that are going on that I think you could directly correlate back to maybe different times in our history where you just didn't see as much as we do today.
Yep. Well, even that, even what you just described, not being present in the particular meeting, you have to have an attitude to have the discipline
you do
to stay out of that.
Sure.
To stay out of going off into something else.
I'm thinking attitude is a discipline, but we also have our time disciplines here.
Yes.
So it's time for us to take a well-deserved break and listen to some of the sponsors that help make Chamber Radio available to our listeners.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Well, welcome back to Life is a Spiritual Occasion, and we're talking with Chris's today. Chris Bianco of The Morning Show and Chris Phelan, whose program is Chamber in Action, but both of these gentlemen are our foundation of Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I am Suzanne Legay, and I'm your host. So we've been talking about attitude. And just before we went to break, we said that attitude could be creation, it could be reaction, or maybe something else. Well, I'm going to push ahead on this business of attitude being one's own creation. And for me, our lives and how we choose to live it is a living contract with the natural and the spiritual laws. And Chris, you mentioned earlier that attitude is a discipline. It's something mm-hmm. that once we know it is part of our being, that it's something that if we do the gift, we're having some very powerful words go back and forth between you two gentlemen, that it's a gift to others, that it's a discipline. And I'm going to call attitude our partner in life. That once we recognize that it is our own creation, that it indeed is our partner. And so if you'll engage in that notion with me, how then does one's attitude foster the experience of life being a spiritual occasion? How do we say that that gift, that discipline, that part of our being that we bring forth interacts with our understanding or our notion for today's show? Let's assume that it's our understanding that life is a spiritual occasion.
Well, when we were... previous to the break, Chris had brought up being in the present versus being distracted or thinking about where you're going to go next or what you're going to do next. And that coupled with the discipline that I piggybacked on with that was staying in the moment, understanding and watching what's happening to you and about you and around you. And then after absorbing that, you have to then digest it and interpret it however you want to. That is a tremendous amount of work that many people, I believe, just, it goes past them. They just completely ignore it and are not witness to it. So that's the discipline I think you need to have, and that's the attitude that you have to realize that you have a very fairly short time on this planet, and you need to experience everything that you can, good, bad, and ugly, to interpret where it's taking you and enjoy every moment of it. And I'll leave one last metaphor with it. In one of my previous lives, I was a music teacher. And we used to constantly teach about making sound. But one of the sounds that actually comes out of the music is the lack of sound. You have to have the lack of sound to appreciate when a sound does appear. And using that metaphor to being experiencing life as a spiritual occasion, as you point it and bring it up, is you have to have some unfortunate occurrences in your life to appreciate the positives. And you have to have the positives in your life to understand that the negatives are not going to be there all the time. And you need to have those contrasts. Otherwise, it's just white noise.
Okay. A nod coming.
I haven't had a drink either, so there you go.
Well, and I also think, you know, in back on your question, you know, in terms of how does that relate to life as a spiritual occasion, I think, you know, having a good attitude and an open attitude and a positive attitude and an attitude of learning and an attitude of creativity and an attitude of embracing life, mm-hmm. I think from a spiritual perspective, if those are, you know, the perspectives that you're bringing to your life, those things that you start to experience in life and those things you start to focus into life make life more rewarding, even in the hard times and the challenging times. You know, when you look at, again, I'll just have to put it in the context of my tradition and faith in terms of our perspective as Catholics. I'll put that on the table. You know, we look at, you know, obviously that there is a life beyond here, and many Christian and Muslim and Jewish, you know, traditions and many other, you know, religions feel that way as well. So when you start to look at what Chris said, you know, in the context of we have a limited time here, but we're working towards something greater, you start to encounter, I think, an attitude of being open to see the small things in life, the good in people. In those moments of challenge and suffering, somebody sick or ill or dying, we hear this kind of cachet phrase, you always hear it at the wake, well, they're not suffering anymore and they only suffered. And I guess, again, I put it in the context of attitude. That's a good attitude, but it's a broader, deeper picture that they have gone on to something, you know, more than what was here in terms of the temporal world, you know, at the end of the day. So I think attitude opens up opportunities that if you choose
to... I just wrote down a keynote to myself, opportunity.
It does. It opens up opportunities. And you can choose throughout the day to get upset by the little things in the office, the little interactions that we have with, you know, folks or on the home front or, you know, the like. Or you just take a step back and embrace that attitude of, you know, I think the other element to that is, to not have then the negativity and or somebody else's maybe what we would consider a bad attitude affect us, and that starts to bring us down, and then you roll.
I think it diminishes it when we start to add adjectives, a bad attitude, a good attitude.
It does.
I think this is a being conversation.
Sure.
When you talk about opportunity, I think it presents to us an opportunity in our daily lives to constantly test that for ourselves, that sense of attitude, and to bring that light. And you were talking about your religion and my religion, light and sound, Chris.
Sure.
You brought up sound. Both light and sound are important in terms of our sense of being and the natural and spiritual laws, the vibrations that we can learn with and from which we are.
Right.
Kind of thing. So this opportunity of being, having that awareness that you gentlemen are talking about, and then being that in action,
right?
And testing it constantly. We are human beings, are we not? And,
sure.
And no matter what our intentions are, we are confronted by those things every day.
Sure.
And the gift is there with our awareness, I think, and our realization, and that we make that choice. That in a situation, we make the choice to come to bring that light to others, to bring that gift to others, because we say so, because it is our discipline to do that, as you mentioned before, Chris. Yep.
And I think if you build into that and you're open to that gift of this attitude and that, you know, you will start to experience life in a whole new way. And even though we will have our ups and downs, the end of the day, on the whole, life is just so much more rewarding, you know, at the end of the day, within a different context.
Say more about that, Chris. It sounds good, but tell me how it is.
Sell me, baby.
Well, I think it's rewarding.
No, I really want an experience of what he means.
Yeah, I think it's rewarding.
These guys are tough. For our listeners, let me just tell you, I'm surrounded by these two guys, and they're tough. Go ahead.
Well, it's rewarding because life becomes more fulfilling. And the smaller things that, you know, again, sometimes distract us become less of that space that's filled on a daily basis. If we can fill ourselves with good things and good people and good relationships and contribute back and give more, you know, to whether it's our relationships or to our family or to our community or to organizations, we know that, you know, at the end of the day, one's life is going to be a happier life, you know, at the end of the day. I think in a spiritual sense, we're all given this gift to be happy and gladful and enjoy. I don't think we're put here on this planet to go around and suffer, and there is suffering. I'm not discounting any of that in everyone's life and more so in others than some. But, you know, when all is said and done, even those that suffer greatly, and when you look back, you were talking about like you could look back in the traditions of many religions, those that suffered the greatest had the greatest joy at the same time during their suffering. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of like an ironic contradiction there when you look at the attitudes of even folks that have suffered, or maybe they were martyred for their faith, or maybe they, you know, again, offered up what they had here for something greater. So, you know, it leads down a really interesting exploration. But Chris is ready to jump on something.
No, but if you were euphoric all the time, would you know?
You wouldn't, like you said, you wouldn't.
Sure. So that's, you know, sometimes the people that actually experience really tremendous hardships have a different humble perspective and a different attitude about how to experience life.
Soul and attitude always continues to expand.
Yep.
And to learn and to grow and to make those kinds of choices in terms of how we want to be in this polarized, you were talking about, you know, there's
sure,
these things
society.
In this is a polarized planet, the polarized sense of being here in the physical is a polarizing thing to do, and they do coexist. And our choice in the middle of that harmony is to create that harmony between some of those kinds of things.
And then you see it. I mean, I think we've almost normalized in today's society that it's okay to bring somebody down. It's okay to talk somebody down. It's okay to talk behind somebody's back. It's okay to hold a grudge. It's okay not to forgive, you know, at the end of the day. And it's almost like that becomes a little bit of a too comfortable normal. And obviously it's playing out in a lot of different realms today. And it's kind of unfortunate. I think the ability to overcome that and to get back to embracing, you know, the opportunities that attitude has is there. But that takes strong leadership from all sectors within our community, from starting at the family level right on up through, you know, every sector that makes up what our community is. And I don't think we've embraced that fully yet. There are people today in our society that we are drawn to. There's a magnetism that they have because they've been able to center that attitude and embrace that opportunity. And I can think of some people. I just watched a video clip on Mother Teresa. Yeah, here's somebody who won, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize for what she did and what her organization, her order, you know, continues to do. I love one of her lines is that her basic philosophy was ordinary people doing extraordinary things.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like a very simple way of looking at no matter what you do in life, it can be very ordinary, but do it in an extraordinary way. And what that brings to that context is just pretty cool.
When you were talking about, you know, it's become okay, and I know that you're saying not,
right,
but it's becoming okay to talk behind someone's. We're really talking about people's awareness. It's consciousness, right? And people that have a contract with that. If we say our attitude is our partner and we're consciously aware of that, it's always our choice to bring that harmony or to bring that perspective. And what's your reaction when you see negative things or hear those negative conversations or you happen to be, quote, party to it, whether it's one-on-one or in a group of people? What is it in that attitude that one brings? Sometimes I would guess it's silence. Sometimes it's just inner awareness and centering one's self. These are things that I tend to do, either be silent or in my particular religion I have a song, a chant that I sing, which is Hugh, and you hear it at the end of this program every time. But, you know, is it silence? Is it some contribution? Is it what do we do if we have a consciousness about life being a spiritual occasion, regardless of religion? We are not talking about that here.
Yeah.
We're talking about an awareness of the spiritual gift that life is.
It's interesting. I think we've also, in that context, maybe lost a skill that maybe prior generations had, and that was a way in which, and I'm looking for the word, but I'm not grasping it, but it's almost like parental awareness, parental correction, collegial correction, because we've gotten to a point where to get to a leveling point with someone or an individual that maybe is causing, you know, issues and the like, and, you know, again, is affecting who we are and affecting maybe, you know, the place and space that we operate in, no matter what that might be, we've kind of lost that ability to communicate that in a way that's not seen, you know, from a judgmental perspective, but from a positive perspective, from a perspective of seeing that person grow and become aware and or having us grow and become aware. And I think somewhere along the way we've kind of lost that ability. I've just noticed more and more of that, you know, where it's easy just to kind of maybe just shut down quickly, if that's making sense, you know, and it's not my problem, I'm not going to deal with it, you know, and we're going to move on. And I think that's kind of cascaded to a point where, you know, communications has broken down greatly in our society.
Bringing an attitude of love is a whole other show for us, gentlemen.
Yeah, very hard to do. Very hard
to do. Perhaps
sure.
we can schedule that later in the year.
I'm not claiming to be the guru on that.
Well, we all are human,
yeah,
right?
So we are.
But with hopefully an expanding awareness that lets us know some of those things. But like I said, I think that's another show.
Yes. So I don't know if I answered the question or not.
It's a hard one to answer, and I think you delved at it. Chris, did you have...
Let me just clarify what your question was. How would I respond to a person with that issues negative?
Well, when we see that, you talked about illness or crisis, or we talked about people's behavior or things that we see. So it's a wide, wide spectrum. So there's not one single answer.
Yeah, my point of view is that somewhere in there, deep in the deep gooey center is something. if I can somehow break through the grousing and start to find out what's the reason for that perspective, I'm curious. Many times you won't get there. Most of the time, you're going to get people who are just going to continue to be negative and outwardly insulting and never really have any rational explanation for why they're doing it, or they're not at least divulging that. But I'd be curious to find out, and that's one of the things that I enjoy doing, is asking questions in a non-confrontational manner to find out what the point is. And if you can somehow...
You're very, very good at that, by the way.
Thank you. If you somehow get the trust of them to open up, you might find out that there's some real reason that they have slanted in that direction. And you can learn from it. Whether they're going to learn from it or adjust their attitude, I don't know. But I can learn from it. And I'm more than willing to do that.
I like that, Chris, because it's hard. But I like your answer because it's a step toward harmony. It's a step toward understanding for both parties or both the situation and you and whatever. We do have to pause again, though, and thank our sponsors for the gift that they give Hunterdon Chamber Radio. But we'll be back because this is an engaging conversation. I thank Chris Phelan and Chris Bianco for engaging in this with me.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Hi, welcome back to Life is a Spiritual Occasion, and I'm sitting here in a very engaging conversation with Chris Bianco and Chris Phelan, both of the Hunterdon Chamber Radio and Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. But I see Chris is leaning into that mic like he wants to continue this conversation, so I'm going to let you trail with us and see what's next.
Yeah, I guess my follow-up thought on what Chris had just shared before our
which
break...
Which was, in case people are just joining us.
Well, I guess it's Chris, sum it up in one sentence.
I was trying to engage somebody with a negative attitude and finding out what's behind it.
Or negativity in the world, I think, not... It doesn't need to be a person, right? You were talking about situations,
It could be, it could be anything that's throwing you for a curveball, and you're just not. It's not within your perspective of positive growth.
I think the other there's another key ingredient to attitude, and that's the word forgiveness, and that ties in. That's what struck me with Chris. That are we willing to forgive people, whether they're even aware, at the end of the day, and we may not have to vocalize this, but of doing something that's affected us negatively, are we able to forgive, at the end of the day, all the human shortfallings, including ourselves? And I think somehow along the way, again, we've drifted away from that principle because we tend to, again, I think human nature, being that what it is, we hold these things, whether it's a grudge or whether we've been slighted or talked about or, somebody has affected or impacted, where we're at, in life. That ability to kind of forgive and let go, even if that person doesn't acknowledge the forgiveness, because that's I can get that. That's a big factor in that, whole part of, the conversation. But I think there's a lot of, stuff that we carry with us. And when we carry it with us, it's really hard to get into a good space of being able to be open to, as I go back to that, the gift of attitude.
Two things you said forgiveness, and I'm going to use my terminology for that, which would be neutrality, and that is to be neutral when others are not, to allow them their space to be that because they are, and my freedom ends where theirs starts. But the one thing that you said that I thought was really lovely is that let go, and I think that that business of being in a situation or with an individual or just hearing about an earthquake in Mexico, say, sure, because that's relevant to our time frame here. Understanding that it happened, that is it. How am I neutral about that? But where can I bring solution? Where can I bring this gift of attitude? Where can I bring the things that we're talking about today into situations like that in a neutral, harmonic way as opposed – not opposed to, but forgiveness is a little tweak on that that I'm going to push back a little bit for me, and say it's being in a neutral space, and forgiveness is a lovely concept, though I don't mean to not say that. Chris? I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was just deep in thought of what you were just explaining. You'll have to come back to me on that one.
Okay, well,
you stumped Big C.
Oh, wow. Well, let me bend this just a little bit here. And when we're talking about our attitudes, and in the very beginning we talked about it being a fixed kind of behavior in folks and so forth. And I want to introduce onto the table with you two gentlemen that how we see the world isn't determined by experiences, by what we expect. So if we expect certain things, does that then create how we experience them?
Oh, man, that's really short-sighted. If there's a lot of stuff that's short, that's expected, and it very few are going to go your way exactly the way you expect it. And so you're going to be either frustrated or extremely curious as to why that didn't happen. And my guess is many people are going to be frustrated. So you have to be much more open-minded, and now we're back to attitude again. Now we're back to the original mindset, discipline, perspective, prism that you need to have to absorb what's coming at you. So if you've already made up your mind as to what you're going to expect on a given day, and take it from somebody who did this in my 20s. I thought I could configure the world. I thought I had it all figured out. And I've gotten more curveballs in my life than I care to deal with, and I'm sure there's people who have it worse than I do. But I gave up. I said, there's obviously something wrong by me sitting there expecting that A is going to happen on a given day. And so now I've just decided to expect the unexpected. Is about as good as it can go, and figure out why and where it's going, and making sure that I have as many open doors, positive open doors, available to me as possible, and figure out which one I'm going to walk through each day.
Lovely.
You didn't expect to get this, did you? No.
Yes, I did, actually. It's very consistent with why I asked the question, and that is that if we think that life is circumstantial and our attitudes and our behaviors are equal to what's happening to us or what we expected to happen or disappointed by it or surprised by it or incidentally delighted by it, then it's the external world that drives that, isn't it?
Yes.
And that leaves us, fortunately, a very big gap for learning.
Yeah.
But if our attitude is our own creation, and we were not, you said, you know, you were very random about this. You're going to wait and see what happens, and then bring yourself to it. And I think that's huge in terms of this notion of our attitude. And I wondered, Chris, if you had any thoughts on that.
Yeah,
you musing.
Yeah, it's a slight little variation because I do think, and it's hard within the moments of life, but I think when you have those moments and have to make those moments that you can kind of take time and step aside and reflect back, And that's where I think, you know, opportunities like journaling or, you know, going through maybe once a year attending a retreat gives you that opportunity to kind of step back and, you know, evaluate. There are reasons in life that things happen for all of us. And I think on the same side, I agree with Chris and your comment, Suzanne, that, you know, we are given great gifts and tools. And if we can use our tools and gifts in those circumstances to make those choices, that's why we've been given those talents and abilities and that insight and that direction and that ability to embrace, you know, attitude and motivation, because we can do good with those things as well. So I'm not sure myself, you know, that I fully buy in, Chris. Just my little tweak is that everything is random, you know, at the end of the day. There are circumstances well beyond our control. I fully understand that. But I do think there's a reason why these circumstances happen. And I don't profess to have all the answers I think that's where you start to get into a whole other show probably about faith, you know, at the end of the day, and a whole other conversation, no matter what your faith is. Because at some point, you know, you have to choose to take that leap and believe in something.
Well, I wouldn't say, and let me clarify. I don't think everything is random.
I think you can
establish many things in a direction that you want to go in. What I was talking about was that I thought I could plan everything. I thought I could control every outcome.
Right.
That I had my destiny. I could figure out my destiny.
You did say you were 20.
I was 27, yes. Well, but people, when I was 20, thought I was 50. So,
okay.
So that makes me about 110 now. So it's not random. What I'm saying is that I was frustrated when things didn't go as planned back
sure.
when I was 20. Now I've learned that, and, you know, you've experienced so much more, and so you tend to realize that things are going to happen differently than you expect, and so I have a much more of an open mind about what could be coming my way, positively or negatively. I try and avoid the negatives. I try and avoid the pitfalls. I put in as many strategies as I can to go in the right direction. But even though I do that, you get hit with a something you just didn't expect, and how do you deal with that? So it's I wouldn't say it's just random. That's
so
all.
How does one get bigger about what they expect? You know, what if what we do it's not what we do that, say, determines our life experiences, but back on this notion of what we expect. So you said then, you and Chris said earlier, let go, and you say that you want to be available as it happens. How do we get to that position, gentlemen?
I think you have to, with intentionality, like anything in life. If you're going to eat right, you're going to be healthy. If you're going to exercise, you're going to be good.
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
If you eat right, you're not going to be healthy all the time.
Well, it's true. There are things that are definitely,
that's
a good point.
That's one of the pitfalls that I'm talking about.
But I think, you know, on your question, you know, relative to at least what I was kind of going towards is, I think you have to kind of put yourself in that frame of mind and do things that specifically open yourself up to that. I think, you know, whether it's, again, the types of readings that you expose yourself to, the types of people you choose to surround yourself with, mm-hmm. the types of activities you choose to be a part of or organizations you choose to be a part of. I think there are things that anyone can do in their life that even within the moment of great stress and challenges and adversity, you can become aware and look at, again, feeding, you know, something far more positive within that moment that is only going to propel you down, a pathway that may lead you to greater outcomes.
What I know that we're shortly to go to break again, but I'm going to again pose something for us to think about and come back and talk about. And I'm going to suggest that it's actually what bothers us that we need to look at. Not justify, not judge, but But what it is that's in our way to look at is something that we can begin to develop this notion of who we are and the gift and the attitude that we bring into life. So maybe we can think about that for our last break as our listeners think about the folks that contribute to the Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, hunterdonchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, welcome back for our last rapidly moving segment here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio with Life as a Spiritual Occasion. And I posed for these two gentlemen in the few remaining moments we have is it possible that what really gets our attention and bothers us and irks us, that it's what we need to look at in ourselves, and it's a real opportunity to grow rather than have our attitude reflect negativity or resistance to that. And I'm not talking about justifying or judging, but just look at... And I wondered if you think that this examining sort of our attitudes that are lurking behind us.
Well, I'd submit again that if something happens that bothers you, then you had expectations.
Yes.
That
there you go.
You miscalculated, and that's I'm not saying I'm omnipresent on that. I'm just saying that. That's the way I back off of it and say, well, why did I have that expectation in the first place? And because of that expectation, did I completely miss whatever that experience was anyway, because I was so distracted by being disappointed or bothered. So if you want to get back to your attitude and discipline, it's having an open mind that experience what happened and don't get lost in your emotions as to what bothered you in the first place.
That really resonates with me too, Chris, but I'm going to say that if you have an open heart, an open mind as well, but an open heart in terms of I think you've done a darn good job today of explaining that, don't you, Chris?
Sure.
That I've got two Chris's, one on each side here, as
sure.
I
Chris
mentioned
squared.
Earlier. But, you know, that business about expectation, because it's a subject that I suspect isn't well examined in folks, and it does lead to sort of reactionary kind of attitudes that we're talking about, as opposed to the creation of an attitude that we want to gift to back into the natural and spiritual laws and to life.
And I think having the ability to be open to, like Chris said, and to be self-introspective, and my only advice on that to folks, including myself, is to make sure you have whoever, a counselor, a confidant, a mentor, somebody that can help you on this journey, you know, of life and help you analyze and challenge you and move forward and be that sounding board. Because if we do it alone in a vacuum, I think, you know, again, a human nature tendency is to go easy on ourselves. We know that. And that's why coaches and counselors and the like are so critical to that path and journey that help us be open to that and really look, again, retrospectively, introspectively into ourselves and hold us accountable. And there's nothing wrong with that, to be held accountable and to grow. That's all part of the process of growing
with
a good attitude.
I'm going to give a subtitle to this conversation, which we probably could have started with, but for me, it's attitude is everything. and that's going to wrap it up today for this session of Life as a Spiritual Occasion. I'll be back again on October 19th at the same time period, 4 to 5 p.m. Life as a Spiritual Occasion is part of a greater set of programs called Hunterdon Living.
Hunterdon Living.
So you can listen to Hunterdon Living in its various aspects every Thursday from 4 to 5 here at WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So from the bridge, this is Suzanne Legay saying goodbye, and thank you for joining us. And gentlemen, thank you for stepping up to have this conversation.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The order enhances the Treasury Department's authorities to target any individual or entity that conducts significant trade in goods, services, or technology with North Korea.
President Trump announcing new sanctions against North Korea, specifically in the area of the banking industry. President Trump also said it's not just America taking action, China cracking down on banking with North Korea.
China, their central bank, has told their other banks to immediately stop doing business with North Korea.
Officials in Puerto Rico are describing the devastation across their island. They say parts of the country could be without power for months. They're also confirming at least one death, saying a man was killed as he was trying to put boards across the window as the hurricane was taking place. USA Radio News.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
Allergies, pollen in the air, dogs in the house, mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Rescuers are still digging in the rubble of a school in Mexico that collapsed after the massive earthquake, rescuing children trapped under the rubble. Here's our reporter on the scene.
This scene grew incredibly chaotic just in the past couple of seconds. They asked us to move and make way for what we believe is an ambulance that will be coming out. In the past couple of hours, we saw a large crane go into the scene and start to move very slowly, very meticulously into a hole that they've dug in the roof of this elementary school where these three children are believed to be located. I spoke to first responders, and they told me that they have been able to communicate with the children. They have even been able to hand them some cell phones, and that's how they know that they are okay.
Workers say the rescue efforts will continue for days. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years, but now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
A new study says students who binge drink in college less likely to find a job.
Researchers at Tel Aviv University and Cornell University kept track of more than 800 students who graduated from college between 2014 and 2016. They found that students who were binge drinking four times a month had a 6% lower chance of finding a job than their peers. Binge drinking is typically defined as four or more drinks within 2 hours for a woman and five or more drinks within 2 hours for a man. The study found job prospects are even worse for those who drank heavily six times a month. Researchers say that increases a graduate's risk of unemployment to 10%.
The recent breach of Equifax has caused New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez to create new legislation.
Menendez, who is currently on trial for fraud and bribery, says he finds the Equifax breach disturbing, especially when he heard that executives sold off company stock before the breach was disclosed. So Menendez is introducing a bill that would require a prompt notification to consumers in the event of a data breach, along with tighter data security standards. Menendez says the Equifax breach impacted 4 million people in New Jersey alone. Overall, it has impacted some 143 million Americans.
The Securities and Exchange Commission says hackers breached the online filing system and may have used information to make illegal trades. The SEC gave few details about the hack, saying only it involves a software vulnerability in its Edgar online filing system. USA Radio News.